You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Whether you're meeting somebody new or maybe catching up with someone after, say, 10 years, there's a good chance that you'll turn toward the topic of what you do for a living.
What have you been doing with your life?
Professional killer.
Oh, good for you. It's a growth industry.
Your answer may not be as dramatic as John Cusack's there in the movie Gross Point Blank, but our next guest says talking about our jobs, what we do for a living, doesn't always make for the best conversation starter. And we can do better than the what do you do question by digging into other parts of identity when we want to get to know people. I want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Picture the scene. You're at a party or a dinner or on the sidelines of your kid's big game or hanging out after a worship service. You meet somebody. What do you talk about? Do jobs come up? Do you wish they didn't? What do you like to talk about to get to know someone apart from their job? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Rachel Feinzig is with us. What does she do? She's the Work and Life columnist at the Wall Street Journal. She has a piece this month with the headline, "Stop Telling Everyone What You Do for a Living." Rachel, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, I've done this, you know, led with what I do or asking what the person does for a living. Why do you think we go there? Why do we reach for that when we're having that conversation with somebody we don't know so well?
It's so hard not to, right? Someone that I interviewed told me that it's like asking about the weather. It's just so natural. So I think most of it is just reflexive. I hesitate to say this. I was telling someone else this today and they said it was a bit of a cynical take, but there's this status competition kind of always humming under the surface, as someone else told me in this story. Maybe we secretly are curious about how much money someone makes, or we're thinking about whether they could help us, you know, in our own career. And so I do think there are other reasons that people sometimes just reach for that question and reasons to move away from it.
Well, I think it, like the weather thing for me, you know, I'm not great at small talk, and this is easy. Like, pretty much everybody's going to have a job or used to have a job or will have a job. It seems like it's at least some kind of common ground. Is that part of why it seems like a natural?
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, especially in this moment where we have a decent number of people, especially in the tech industry, being laid off, it can also bring up a lot of strong emotions for people. So I think you do have to tread lightly, even though it has become definitely, you know, like small talk and a polite topic.
What made you start thinking about alternatives and seeking out alternatives to the what do you do question?
You know, the story just came from this one sentence, what do you do? I just kept coming back to it. I have this kind of, you know, stream of consciousness, big, long document with ideas. And it was just really that phrase. And then I threw it out to, you know, all kinds of people doing all kinds of jobs all over the country. And that's really where the story came from and where I got ideas of better things to say. Like the guy who told me that he leads with a joke. People will ask him what he does, and he says, "I make the little umbrellas that go in tropical drinks." And they're like, "Really?" And he's like, "No, no, not at all." But like, like he said, it just breaks up the conversation. It kind of pulls people out of those rote scripts. And I thought that was really interesting.
Now, you talked to the host, somebody hosts a bunch of dinner parties. It looked like good sized dinner parties. But the deal is there's a ban on this. No talking about your work at this. What did you hear from about how those actually went then?
Yeah, that's the cocktail umbrella guy, John Levy. He said it's really cringeworthy at first. Like, people are often awkward. They avoid, you know, some people hit the alcohol, some people avoid the alcohol because they're scared of what they might say if they don't have this kind of crutch in hand. He told me, this didn't make it into the article, but he told me like the most cringeworthy is when people start comparing the spellings of their name. Like, mm-hmm. Someone will be like, "Oh, like my aunt was Linda with a Y." You know, he's like, you know, that's when you really need to kind of intervene when people just don't know what to say because they're so used to kind of leading with this script. But he said by the end, everyone's like a gang of old camp friends. They're kind of bonded by the fact that they have to talk about their actual interests and kind of deeper parts of who they are.
Talking to Rachel Feinzig with the Wall Street Journal. She had a piece this month about, that question. When you meet somebody new or reconnect with somebody, What do you do? Well, she says, hey, maybe let's talk about something other than our job. We'll probably be happy if we did. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Is that your go-to in a conversation in that situation? Or do you have something else you like to bring up and talk about? What is it? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's bring on a caller now. Kay is with us in Madison. Kay, hello.
Hi. I always used to ask people what they did for a living. But now that I'm retired, I find that when I go to the senior center, it's like nobody asks anybody what they do. I mean, eventually I might say, well, what did you used to do? You know, like, well, I used to be a social worker. I used to be a office manager, whatever. But it never comes up in the beginning because people are usually not working anymore.
It's okay if I may ask, and maybe we'll get some inspiration here. What are some of the lead topics that people come up with to talk about when everybody knows everybody else isn't working now?
Well, I think partly people, you ask them if they, of course, this might be familiar, and they might say, well, do you come here often? That sounds like a bar conversation. But
okay, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. And Rachel, yeah, do you come here often? That may not be the best replacement. What kind of things do you find people talking about if they say, okay, no, we're not going to do the what do you do, not do the job conversation?
Well, do you come here often actually isn't a terrible starting point, this idea of asking people, like talking about where you are and what's going on and what brought them to this, you know, place where you're now meeting is something people mentioned to me. Also asking, how do you fill your time? What brings you joy? Leading with books or movies or vacations, things kind of outside of your work and professional life is where people, you know, told me they're trying to start now.
Thanks a lot for that call, Kay, at 800-642-1234. And Rachel, part of this boils down to something you've written about before, and that's how much our job defines our identity, not to other people, but to ourselves. How, and you've experimented with this some, how can we move away from defining ourselves to ourselves by the job we're doing?
Yeah, this has been a huge topic for me. I wrote a piece last year where I talked about my own journey with running and how just having a hobby, something that was just for me, that was outside of my work, and in that case, also outside of my life as a parent of young kids, was just made me feel like a different person and gave me something else to talk about with people. So I think just having a life can be really helpful. Like, you have to have a life outside of work in order to talk about something outside of work. And so then it kind of feeds on yourself and your identity becomes less looped to, you know, how you get your paycheck.
Yeah. Do you get the sense that part of why we talk about our job is that we worry that that other stuff isn't as central to who we are? The job is the big thing, the main part of our identity that other people are going to care about?
Yeah, I think it happens because we spend so many hours of our life at work. I think it happens because so much of our confidence might come from work. One person told me she would ask people what they did because she was secretly hoping they would ask her, because saying what she did made her feel like she was someone worth talking to. And so I think a lot of us do kind of tie our jobs to our value as a person. And it can be really tough to realize, like, no, I have to figure out how to be a person without this fancy job title.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Carol is with us now in Madison. Carol, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I'd kind of discovered this a long time ago. I didn't go to college, and all of my friends did. And I learned to not ask about their, you know, school, because I didn't want to have them ask me the same thing. I learned to say, what do you like to do? And one thing I wanted to also comment on is people are surprised when you say that. When you don't ask what do you do, sometimes they'll actually answer what they do for work before they even realize that you didn't ask. And I love the conversation. Thanks.
Yeah, actually, Carol, I want to ask, do people have something ready to go? Are they so, or do they have to think for a minute? What do I like to do?
Yeah, they always pause and take a breath and then they answer because they're not used to that question. Huh? It's fun.
What do you like to do, Carol?
oh, I like to sing and dance and play music with my friends and garden, all sorts of things.
Awesome conversation starters, Carol. Thanks a lot for that. And Rachel, is this the kind of thing, like at the dinner party we were talking about, is what Carol brings up the kind of thing we end up talking about if we take work off the dinner table?
Absolutely, ideally. And just deeper things, like more points of connection between people, real points of connection, not just like, oh, I also, you know, like do Excel spreadsheets or, you know, I'm trying to wrangle everyone to that Zoom meeting. But like real things that make us feel like fuller human beings and really connected to people in a way that, I mean, sometimes our jobs can, I think, like, I think it's okay for your job to be part of your identity. But I think when we go deeper, it can bring just a lot more life and depth to a conversation.
Carol, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Rachel Feinzig, work and life columnist at the Wall Street Journal, about things to talk to people about when we meet them or reconnect after a long time, apart from our jobs, apart from what we do for a living, which is often, understandably, what we go to first. You can join in at 800-642-1234. When you meet somebody, do you like having that conversation about your job and their job, or do you try to get into other topics? If so, what are those other topics? And do you feel like your job defines who you are in large part? Are you cool with that? Is that good? Or do you think maybe you need some other stuff out there to talk about? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our talk with Rachel Feinzig, work and life columnist at The Wall Street Journal, talking about what we talk about when we meet somebody new or catch up with someone. Her suggestion, we can have better conversations, get to know each other better, if we don't start with talking about our jobs and avoid that question, what do you do? Call in now at 800-642-1234. What do you do when you're having that conversation? What do you ask about? Do jobs come up? Is that cool? Do you like to talk about different stuff? Call 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Mark is with us in Delafield. Mark, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
Well, I'm just going to try and interject a bit of humor to this. And that is, you know, I'm sure you've watched Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. You remember the episode when George was trying to date a woman and impress her? And what did he tell her? He told her he was a marine biologist. I might do that going forward, kind of like the first guy he made the little umbrellas.
Right. Mark, thanks for the call. I don't remember that episode. I'm guessing being Seinfeld, it worked perfectly with absolutely no downside. But Rachel, there's that temptation for somebody who's doing a job that people might perceive as a cool job to want to talk about that job and maybe, like you were saying earlier, want people to ask them what job they're doing and maybe not make something up like marine biologist.
It's totally understandable. And yet I think one of the risks is, especially today and in this specific economy, many jobs are not forever. And so then the hard part becomes like, who are you if you don't have that job anymore for whatever reason? And I think a lot of people struggle with that. Or who are you if the job starts burning you out and you're miserable and you don't want to be reminded of it, you know, every time you go to a dinner party? I think it can really, you know, blur those lines in a way that can be difficult for some people.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Marcus joins us now in Milwaukee. Marcus, hi.
Hi. So I took a psychology class when I was working on my undergrad at UWM, and we had to ask our other classmates three questions without asking them about, you know, themselves specifically, but to find out information. And one of the questions that I came up with was, I like to ask people if you could have any superpower, what superpower would you want and why? Because if somebody says, I'd want to be invisible because, you know, that way I can move around and no one would see me, that's more or less somebody who's probably not feeling seen or heard in the world. Where if you have somebody else where they say, I want to be invisible so that I can rob banks or I can sneak around. And, you know, that's more, there's more larceny operating in that one. And I'd be a little cautious.
And Marcus, do you do this? That was in the class. Do you do this in a conversation now with the superpower question?
All the time. All the time. Yeah. I find it's a great way to find out about somebody's personality. And it's such a strange question, or, you know, that some of the answers that you get too, I had one guy said that he wants the ability to be able to pick up and play any musical instrument ever. Ooh. Because he loves music and he thinks it makes people happy, where I myself would want the ability to read and speak any language ever, because Ooh. Museums would be fantastically interesting to me.
Marcus, thanks. You may have given us an idea for a college segment in the future. That's fantastic, Marcus. Rachel, there are some creative questions there. What do you think?
I love that. I absolutely love that. I think there's probably this moment, and a few of the viewers have described this moment where people are just so used to kind of going into their shtick that they're probably like super thrown off right at first. But I imagine, you know, you just get the most fascinating answers. What a study in human psychology.
Marcus, thanks a lot for that. At 800-642-1234, talking to Rachel Feinzig with the Wall Street Journal, talking about what we talk about when we meet new people. A lot of times we'll go to the job question. She says we could try a lot of other stuff too and maybe learn more, get to know each other better. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Gary is with us in Green Bay. Hi, Gary.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
I just wanted to say, I just think it's in human nature that I want to know about what a person does with their spare time during the day. I find it that I'm always curious of what do you do for a living? Because that lets me know what their interest is as well. So when I'm like in a ski club, I mean, you would be surprised the amount of diversity of different people that are in one club with the same interests.
Interesting, Gary. Thanks a lot for sharing that. Now, in that case, Rachel, they're all there for one reason, skiing. So they know there's a shared interest. Gary wants to know, what they do in their day job, but they're not having fun skiing. I mean, you're not saying never ask about a job here.
No, I'm definitely not saying never. And look, as someone whose job is to be the work and life columnist at the Wall Street Journal, I love hearing about what people do. I mean, that's why I have this job, right? I find it inherently interesting. I think especially people are kind of in a situation like skiing where maybe they are a little bit more relaxed and they're not just peacocking or trying to impress you, you know, at the elementary school, you know, parents' night or something. You might get some interesting anecdotes by talking about your job. And I do think that a lot of us, like, we derive a well-deserved confidence from our job. I talked to someone for the story who was the first in her family to go to college, and she loves talking about her work because it's this huge accomplishment that she has achieved. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Thanks, Gary, for the call. Skip is with us now in Abbotsford. Skip, hi.
Hi, how are you doing today? We're doing good ourselves.
Good.
I'm a traveling folk singer storyteller. I'm on the road right now. And when I am in that position, no matter where it is, my question to somebody is, where are you from?
All right. And do you get good conversations out of that, Skip?
Oh, incredible. And if it isn't, well, I'm from, where are you originally? And they'll tell me, and I've met people that grew up not far from me, or we traveled in similar circles, and just met most amazing people, some of whom I've put some songs together about, simply by asking, where are you from?
Skip, thanks a lot. Have a good tour. What do you think, Rachel? Where are you from?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, as someone who is mostly grounded in place on the East Coast with two little kids, I feel like I live vicariously by asking people, you know, where, like, what the weather looks like outside in Southern California and about their travels. And yeah, I love it.
Thanks a lot for that call. We heard from Andy in La Crosse, who couldn't stay on the line. He says he had a teacher who would ask people, what's your story? I don't know. I don't know how I'd react to that, Rachel. I would need like a week or something to answer that. What do you think? Is that too much?
I mean, I'm here for it. And I feel like it could like devolve into a therapist type situation, right? Like, if someone wants to hear about like their entire upbringing and like all the issues that I have with my mother, it could go in that direction. But no, I like it. I think it's a nice way because people can take that whatever direction they want, right?
Definitely. Now, I got to ask, have you, I mean, you meet people through your work a lot, but in your personal life, have you made a switch or do you still find yourself, Rachel, falling into, you know, what do?
I'm trying not to do it. Ever since starting this story, I am trying not to do it. I also, there was some advice from a career coach in the piece about how to introduce yourself. And you could say something, you know, like list a couple of hobbies, some personal things about yourself, and then include your job as almost an afterthought. So, you know, you're still kind of like maybe abiding by that social expectation, but it's kind of like a last beat, you know, in my day job, to earn a living, which I thought was a good idea. And I've been trying to do that as well.
All right. And have you tried anything that's just fallen flat? Like, this seemed like a great conversation starter and no?
I think a lot of it depends on the person you are. I haven't been able to do the what brings you joy. I just think I'm like slightly too sarcastic to pull that one off. But someone nicer than me probably could make it happen.
Yeah, story of my life too. Rachel, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Been talking to Rachel Feinzig, work and life columnist at the Wall Street Journal. She joined us for a look at her column on, you know, conversations. When you meet somebody for the first time, catching up with somebody in the past, what do you talk about? She says we can have a lot of great conversations if we don't go to that tried and true, what do? Or what do you do for a living? Or what's your job? Or lead with your job. Now, this is maybe not fair. I like talking about my job because my job is talking to people who are like really smart and interesting. And then when people find that out, there's like this halo effect where I fool them into thinking that I'm smart and interesting too. So I don't know. It doesn't work out so bad for me. Still time to share your experiences. What is your best conversation starter when you meet somebody new? Give us the line at 8ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. And let us know how it works. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network.